This is AWLS, podcasts on wilderness medicine from the University of Utah School of Medicine.
Hello, this is Richard Ingebretson from the University of Utah School of Medicine. Thank you for listening to this podcast series on medicine in the backcountry. This is for everybody who is interested in medicine as it applies to the sports and activities you do outside. We want to help people stay safe and to treat people who may become injured or sick in the backcountry. Or if you are a medical professional and have some background in medicine to help you treat people, even when they come back from their adventure. Today we talk about a sport most people don't do, but most people know about, and that is ice climbing. And the question people are always going to ask, is this something that I would do? Would you go up climbing? If you are a climber, anyway, would you get on the ice? Or if you have never done it, would you begin to get on the ice and climb? It is, in many people's mind, considered to be an extreme sport. That is, only certain people who have the desire to go out and do bold, and I don't want to use the word crazy, but that's how some people look at some sports. And this is viewed by some, but we're today going to talk about that and show that it isn't necessarily an extreme sport, just like any sport that you do in the outdoors. If it's done safely and wisely and under correct conditions, is a good sport, like jumping out of an airplane with your parachute on, or parasailing, or hang gliding, or ice fishing. These are all safe sports if they're done correctly and properly. And the word extreme sport kind of goes away if you do things appropriately. When I think of ice climbing, the vision that we did the podcast on ice fishing, comes to mind that I don't want to fall through the ice. When you climb, the I think the first thing that comes to your mind is you don't want to fall. But if it's done correctly, you're not going to fall if you do if you are appropriate in your climbing. And in ice climbing, falling through the ice is what comes to my mind. I do not want to do that. Yet it is rare when done correctly, and the bigger problems are slipping on the ice, going to where you're going to cut your hole is the bigger problem. Same thing in ice climbing. The thing that comes to my mind is that ice above me is going to fall off and hit me and fall down. Absolutely a real possibility. But if you do it in the appropriate conditions, just like with ice fishing, that risk is going to be minimized. What we want you to know today are the medical aspects of ice climbing, and that includes safety and if people have injuries that are common, how to treat them. So I'll just come out and ask the question, what is ice climbing? Not to sound silly, but ice climbing, just exactly what it sounds like. It is climbing up the faces of ice. It is very similar to rock climbing, only it's on a very slippery surface and a surface that may or may not be as unstable as climbing on the wall. Most ice climbing, if you look at it worldwide, is done on frozen waterfalls to ensure that the ice is thick and safe enough to climb. You don't want to try to climb a column formed by a gradual drip. Like rock climbing, there's usually one person climbing while another person belays from below. Experienced ice climbers can also lead climb, drilling holes to place temporary bolts in the ice as they ascend, much like regular rock climbing. But if, like anything, if you're new to this sport, you want to let someone else, like a guide or a professional that's done it, set the top rope for you. And so is it harder than rock climbing? Well, like anything, I think you have to ask, the answer would probably be yes or maybe no, depending upon your rock climbing strengths and weaknesses. I think skilled rock climbers know to use their leg muscles to stand on as much as possible while moving up a route rather than using the arms to pull themselves up. And hence, this makes it safer, and that also then describes some of the injuries of rock climbing. But if you're already doing that when you climb, in some ways, ice climbing may be even easier, as ice climbing crampons that are on your boots can grip onto the ice almost anywhere, and you don't have to look for little tiny ledges to put on it. So some way that becomes easier. But then on the flip side, if you're going to use your legs, you may find ice climbing to be a little more taxing on your arms. Ice climbing axe will probably weigh around, they are usually about 1.5 pounds, which is a few kilograms, and you'll need to draw it back, swing it forward to dig into the ice and pull it back out and dig it into where you want to go. So beginner climbers may find that holding their weight with one axe while searching for a secure spot to drive in their axe is going to be more fatiguing than rock climbing, a sport where you don't necessarily have to do that. So the one thing we always want to caution people is when they try a sport do you need any climbing experience to ice climb? So anyone can get on the ice wall their first time out, even if they've never worn a harness in their life. The biggest challenge with new climbers isn't so much their physical ability, but maybe their mental aspect of falling and rappelling down on the ice. So you don't want to do it alone, and you never want to do it for the first time without someone who's trained to teach or without somebody who's trained to get you up there, like rock climbing. Be very careful with that. And like a lot of sports, you really want someone there that's trained and can be safe. Some sports just absolutely require that. If you do get out and you want to know the safety, how do you gauge climbs and how do you gauge ice compared to regular climbing? And so this is something where you really want to learn and know a lot before you get onto the ice. Being able to gauge what ice or ice isn't able to climb is a lot like climbing up a wall. And it is an insanely important skill to have before you get up there. Ice climbers should go with a guide, just simply. You need someone who knows that waterfall, that ice, someone who knows how to do it. I think one thing that you can say from the physics standpoint of all this, that the bluer the ice, the better. As ice climbing guides will teach, blue ice indicates that the ice has some plasticity or give to it. That's important, as you don't want the ice to be so brittle and break off every time you drive an axe or crampon into it. Other factors to take into consideration include the thickness of the ice, the thickness of the place where it connects into the wall, especially if you're climbing on pillars, which is really a way people will climb. Ice climbing is usually graded from 1 to 7 scale, and they use a scale like W1 or W2, means you can mostly do it without tools, and then as you go up, it gets higher. I'm not going to go through those scales other than just say that's something that you want to know about. And so I'm just going to ask the question, is ice climbing safe? Yes, it can be. And just like any outdoor sport, especially in the direction, if you have a really good certified guide, is a very safe sport in terms of accidents. However, for the potential for accidents is low, the consequences can be high, like for any climbing. For most beginners, the biggest risk will probably be from tiny pieces of ice that could scratch your nose. But practice putting your head like against the wall and doing other practices will prevent that. And like with rock climbing, you want to make sure you have the right shoes and the right crampons on to be safe. And you need to learn how to secure the ice and make sure that you do things properly, like you do with rock climbing. And it's important that you go through those rules and ideas in ice climbing to make sure that you are safe and that you have the right tools. And like with rock climbing, the ropes are insanely important. The crampons on your feet and the ice axe are very, very important, that they are good and that they are safe. A lot of your climbing buddies aren't going to want to ice climb with you because they're not skilled at it. So this is where you need to go find people who are skilled and who can train you into being a safe ice climber. Let's talk a little bit about the medical aspects or the injuries or problems associated more medically with this. This is a medical podcast, of course, and we kind of want to focus on that. And so climbing a frozen waterfall isn't something humans had any evolutionary background in. That is, it was never designed for us to survive by climbing up frozen waterfalls, although it has been done. From the sports aspect of it, there are a lot of ice climbing festivals around, and a lot of people are going to be need to be staffed with that medically. But I want you all to think, if someone in your family or a friend, and you're going to answer the medical question, or you're the medical professional, the physician, the nurse practitioner, or the nurse, or the PA, or the EMT, if somebody asks you what are the dangers that I need to watch out for, we want to give you these answers. But one of the interesting things is this is a fairly rare sport, but it's growing, and so there is more and more data. But if you go back to the literature of the last couple of decades, there aren't a whole lot of data on ice climbing, but there are some. And these are worth noting, and they have been done to sort of calculate the risk factors and which things you're going to look at. The risk factor in this is small. That is, it's roughly 4 injuries per 1,000 hours of climbing. Ice climbing was, that number tells us that ice climbing is safer than a lot of contact sports, but more dangerous than, say, mountain biking and rock climbing, where the risk injuries per 1,000 hours is less than that. So it's not the best, but it's also not the worst. In 2014, there was a big ice climbing festival at the Sochi Winter Olympics. And this was something that a lot of medicine and a lot of outdoor enthusiasts look at as data to help us understand that. That had beginners, intermediates, and professionals on the ice climbing. And this was the first venue, really, where ice climbing sort of became into culture. Many novice climbers were encouraged to participate, and several professional athletes competed there. So the injuries were treated on site and recorded. And this is really one of the better studies that was done. And they documented that there were 248 injuries per 1,000 hours. Because the participants were allowed to climb for only 2 minutes and professional athletes were typically on the wall for only 10 seconds, the total climbing time was quite short. And so this gives us the data, though. Penetrating and superficial soft tissue injuries such as cuts and bruises were the most common, especially the hand and face. And that's because you have a lot of pokey kinds of things. You have spikes on your shoes, which can poke into your legs as you climb up. And you also have the ice axe that can cause that. So if you look at the Sochi data, there was a lot of penetrating issues, soft tissue injuries. And then there were little pieces of ice that would fall off and hit the face and the arms and cut those. Not long after that, they did some studies over ice climbers. And again, this was done in a way to determine what are the most common injuries. And the study that was published by Runner and his crew found that there was a number of about 9.8 per 1,000 hours. Leading was found to be more risky than top roping. All of the injuries, which I think was about 60%, was to falling ice. And that meant not big chunks knocking people off, but hitting their shoulders, arms, and their helmets and their face. 81% of those were mild, 17% were moderate, and 2% were more severe. There were no catastrophic injuries in that study. The head and face were injuries in 50% of the incidents, and most of those were abrasions and lacerations. But one thing that needs to be pointed out is that we're mostly looking at injuries associated with ice climbing specifically. In ice climbing, just like rock climbing, there are the common injuries, and the most common injuries are, of course, to the hands, where you get the pulling injuries, and then you get the tendon injuries in the forearms from holding up, shoulder injuries, and you can also get the knee and the foot injuries that are very common in just regular rock climbing. I think one thing you can say that looking at the medical aspect of these things is that ice climbing is less extreme than one might think. There is a chance for serious trauma to occur, but most of the injuries that in that case are mild, because many injuries involve the head and face. Wearing a helmet is absolutely essential, and there's now a big movement to put face shield and goggles that can prevent significant number of injuries. being aware of the surrounding, examining the quality of the ice, and learning from more experienced climbers is also very important in the studies that they were looking at the medical aspects of this. There are a lot of published stories out there about one of the most feared consequences of ice climbing, and that is ice falling. And if you go to the waterfalls, a common story is those where a bunch of generally inexperienced climbers get to the base of a waterfall and begin to climb. It's probably too early in the winter for the waterfall to have frozen significantly through, and people will be at the base of the falls, and then all of a sudden they'll hear something that sounds like a gunshot, and then they'll look and see what looks like a tree falling. But it isn't a tree. It's something much bigger. It's a very dangerous block of ice coming down. A lot of stories of people begin to climb, and they see mini-sized bands of ice falling off the cliff and shattering in front of them. And had they been on the wall, or on the wall of ice, they would have been knocked off and been seriously injured or even survived that kind of a fall. So what happens, and probably one of the things you have to do, it's just like ice fishing, you have to make sure that the quality of the ice is strong enough to hold a person or persons as they climb. And remember, like any sport, it shouldn't be, the baseline shouldn't be staying alive. The baseline should be having a good time and enjoying the outdoors with family and friends and learning the beauties of our world and doing it in a controlled manner. And when things get out of control, then things will go south. So ice climbs can, and they do collapse. And virtually all climbs are on water. So when there is water running behind a climb, and that happens, if there's a lot of water, it's time to go home. If it's so cold that the entire climb is brittle, then it's also time to go home. If it's really warm out and has been warm for a few days, then it's also time to stay home. And if you just don't like feel it and you're not up to the mental challenge, then it's also time to go home. For the first aid kits and for the advice, just remember those things, and remember that in a first aid kit, the injuries are skin injuries, trauma from spikes, and items hitting the face. Get people to wear goggles and face guards and helmets, and make sure that the gear is in order. Make sure you're going out with a guide, and that you know someone who's experienced on the ice before you go, that knows how the ice looks, and make sure that it's safe to climb. This, like all sports, is a wonderful sport to do, and make sure you're able to treat appropriately. And again, then the first aid kit, you have to remember that the fingers can also be a problem, shoulders, and the tendons in your arms. So be aware to treat all of those. Always have a way to communicate. Never do this alone, and always go with a guide. And these are the advice you can tell your family, your friends, your patients, and those after learning about this. And again, this podcast is not tell you how to climb or even where to climb. It's giving you the medical advice and some safety tips to help you as you guide others to do that. This ends the podcast on ice climbing. And as always, we say thank you for listening.